Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to get straight in the Word today, and I just want to reference a couple of scriptures, and then we're going to dive into something. And the first scripture I want to look at is Proverbs 3, verses 3 to 4. So if we can have that on the screen, Proverbs 3, verses 3 to 4. And it says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you." You know, mercy is our responsibility as believers. Mercy is the life we're supposed to live. You know, I thank God for Rhoda and the soup kitchen. You know, I thank God for the Linking Lives program and reaching out to lonely older people. I thank God for all the different ways that we have opportunities to show mercy. You know, if you read scripture, it's amazing how much God's heart aches for justice. He loves justice. You know, and there's a relationship between justice and mercy, because mercy is the heart attitude that makes us want to seek justice. Are you hearing me? Let not mercy and truth, say truth. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Jump to verse 4. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. You know, the Bible says that the city rejoices when the righteous rule. When good people are ruling, it blesses so many other people. But one of the things we need, it was interesting hearing Chris talk about, you know, diligence is so important. And he was talking about how, you know, his boss, because he'd seen the diligence and the conscientiousness in his life, his boss wanted to favor him. You know, if we are going to be promoted and raised up, we need favor. And favor isn't something we look for from human beings. We look for it from God. Amen. Are you hearing me? We need to seek to be favored by God, because when we seek God's favor, human favor just follows. Amen. It's a natural reaction. God makes sure that the right... I remember hearing someone say, you only need about 5 people in life to like you. Was it really? Oh, okay. I once heard my husband say. But it's true. As long as it's the right 5, and only God knows who the right 5 are. You know, and so in this year of expansion, in this year where God has spoken a word over each of us, that he wants to take us somewhere new, he wants us to grow, to stretch, to increase. In whatever area we are, in our family lives, in work, in ministry, in whatever it is that God has mandated you to do, he wants us to expand this year. We're going to need favor. Are you hearing me? And you see, we just learned that mercy and truth are magnets for God's favor. When God sees us showing mercy, and when God sees us being truthful, he responds with favor. We're going to look at some aspects around truth today. And I want to quickly look at another scripture. Psalm 15, verses 1 to 2. Psalm 15, verses 1 to 2. Lord, who can abide in your tabernacle? Who can dwell in your holy hill? You know, a hill is upwards. So again, you see, who can be raised up to higher places? Are you hearing me? Yeah. And it's really interesting. Verse 2, he who walks uprightly, well, we'd expect that, wouldn't we? He who works righteousness, we'd expect that. But then it says, he who speaks the truth in his heart. Are you hearing me? Yeah. You know, there's nobody that knows whether you speak the truth in your heart other than God. Nobody else knows whether you and I are in touch with the truth. Only God knows that. But there's something about reaching this place where we can be truthful, and I'm going to unpackage this a bit, that really does attract God. You know, it's so interesting. I was thinking about that scripture that says that God is seeking. You know, when you're seeking something, you're searching for it. You're looking for it. And he's seeking those who will worship him in spirit, I get. But in truth, what does that mean? How do you worship in truth? Well, of course, the opposite is worshiping in lies. Well, what does that, you know, I believe it's to do with us being able to worship out of a place of truth. And we're going to get to understanding that. But where we're truthful about the stuff on the inside, but from a place of truth, that we can actually love God and serve him. You know, one of the kings in the Old Testament, Hezekiah, I'm not going to go into it, but he got sick. He was going to die. The prophet came and said, sorry, this sickness is unto death. Your days are over. And so he prayed. And when he prayed, he gave two arguments to God about why God should extend his life. Interesting, isn't it? Guess what one of them was? Someone guessed. Wow, Pastor Toki, you're really on the ball this morning. What do you think the second one of them was? Truth. He said to God, have mercy on me. Remember now, O Lord, how I have walked before you in truth. There's truth on the inside of me, Lord. And he's saying, God, that has to count for something. Are you hearing me? Now, we're going to start to unpack this a bit because it isn't human nature to be truthful in our hearts. It is anti-human nature to be truthful in our hearts. And I want to look just at, I want to jump straight to one story. And, you know, I often talk about King Saul in the Bible, and there's a reason why I do. For me, he is one of the kings that speaks to me and motivates me and helps me more than anyone else, which is really strange. Because for 2.5 years of his reign, he was basically following God. And the rest, the other 40 years, he reigned for 42 years over all Israel. And for only 2 of those years was he following God. But for me, I learn more from studying his life. It's like it's sometimes easier to get wisdom from seeing what foolishness is. It's sometimes easier to learn what's right by understanding what's wrong. Right. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah.
And you see, I want us to just look at a little bit of Saul's life. I'm going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 18 and just read 5 verses. Now, you may or may not know about Saul, but he was the first king of Israel. And I want us to think about this as a human being, not some person in the Bible that is kind of detached from us. Do you understand what I'm saying? He was a human being. And he, just out the blue, you know, one day he's running around chasing donkeys. His father's donkeys had gone missing and he's out looking for them. And suddenly he gets given this word from Prophet Samuel saying, you're the one God's chosen to be king. And so he it's a bolt out of the blue for him. There's no indication that he knew it was coming. And literally within a week, Saul is crowned king of Israel. You know, sounds great, doesn't it? You know, the word comes and then it comes to pass, because most of us have to wait a painfully long time for our promises to come to pass. Isn't that true? But you see, you know, even when the word came, Saul so clearly felt inadequate. Have you ever felt inadequate when someone asks you to do a job or asks you to, you know, reading between the lines, when Chris was saying that kind of, you know, assistant management position came up, he's like, well, I didn't ask for that. I didn't want, you know, what would make us shy away from promotion? It's when we think, gosh, am I really up for this?
Right.
You know, I remember being really excited years ago about going for my first ever management position at the Prince's Trust. And, you know, it was kind of, there was a lot stacked against me because the man who was appointing me, I remember when he sat me down and he said, I need to talk to you about this before the interview. And he said, how are you going to react if, you know, and he had a smile on his face, if you don't get the job? In other words, he was saying, Joe, you're not going to get the job. And he said, you know, I need to know that if you're going to even go for this job, that you're going to still work diligently afterwards. If you don't get the job, well, thanks for the vote of confidence. But anyway, I went for the job. I was all excited. Sometimes things just seem so exciting when they're just in theory. And I remember praying and preparing. And I remember when the call came, it was a bank holiday Monday, and my boss, you know, the director of the Prince's Trust, that part of the Prince's Trust called me and said, Joe, I didn't want to wait till tomorrow. And he just said, you convinced me. And he said, I really didn't think you were up for it. We had people with double the amount of experience, but you completely convinced me that you can do it. So don't let me down. Clunk. And I'm like, oh no. You know, I mean, literally, that's when my husband then every single day for literally about 6 weeks had to say to me, Joe, what have you got beginning with F? And I would go, favor. And he'd say, go, he'd say, go for it. Because I felt inadequate. You see, and King Saul felt inadequate. When Samuel said, you're the one for the job, he was saying, no, you got the wrong one. You know, I'm from the smallest tribe, and my father's house is small. I mean, which wasn't even true, his father's house. I mean, his father was really wealthy and powerful. But something on the inside of him felt unqualified. But nonetheless, he got on with the job. Now, you see, we're talking about truth today. Because there's a power in recognizing and acknowledging the truth. And this is what I want you to see. You see, I believe that the best thing that Saul could have done in that moment is gone to God and said, God, I don't feel qualified. I don't feel up for it. I don't feel good enough. Because when we speak the truth to the God of truth, then God can deal with our hearts. He can reassure us. But when instead of speaking the truth, we then just go, ooh, I don't like that reality that I'm feeling unqualified. I'm going to push that down, pretend I don't feel it. Come on, don't look at me like that. I know you do that sometimes. That feeling wasn't nice, so I'm going to pretend I never felt it. I'm going to bottle it. I'm going to suppress it. And I'm just going to instead put on my king's uniform, my king's robe, the hat, whatever it was. And I'm going to fake it until I feel it. And I'm just going to get on with it. Are you hearing me? You see, it's really clear from Scripture on several occasions that's how Saul felt. But he never faced the truth. Say the truth. And instead, what he did, you see, God's hand was on his life, and God's hand is on your life, and he's going to keep favoring you. He's going to keep surrounding you with his love because he's for you, and he has an amazing plan for you. You see, and so he was like that with Saul. He loved Saul. And so Saul managed to win many victories. He succeeded. He did really well. But of course, under all that, you remember when you push something down, it's still there. Are you hearing me? When you push it down, it's still there. And so no doubt, behind closed doors, after the battles were won, he'd be still going, oh my goodness, God, what if I can't do it next time? Are you hearing me? Inadequacy, feelings of insecurity, they don't go away if we just push them down. They just remain beneath that proverbial carpet, that proverbial rug that we sweep everything under. And so he didn't deal with it. And instead of that, when the people said, yay, we love Saul, we love Saul, he's the greatest king, he would go, yes, that's making me feel better, phew. And he fed on the people's praises. He fed on every success, and that filled that horrible, lonely hole, that gap on the inside of him that just made him feel not good enough. You know, and so now I want you to see, if we've still got that scripture there, Benj, we are in 1 Samuel 18, verse 5. So David went out. Now, David hires a young man called David. Saul even hires a young man called David. And it says, so David went out wherever Saul sent him, behaved wisely. Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Verse 6. Now it happened as they were coming home when David was returning from the slaughter of Philistines that the women were dancing and singing. And verse 7, and they sing this song, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Verse 8. Then Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him, and he said, they've ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me only thousands. What more is he going to be after but the kingdom? Verse 9. So Saul eyed David from that day forward. Now, I want you to see a bunch of things here. We're talking about truth. You see, David is behaving wisely. All David is doing is serving Saul. You know, if you read about David and his relationship with Saul, he never, ever once betrayed that man. He served him with a loyal heart. When Saul said, go here, David would go there. You know, and you see, that is evidence that God's hand was on Saul's life. Do you know what? The very fact that God has surrounded Paolo and I with wonderful people shows us how much God loves us. Right. That he would put such competent, fantastic people around us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the fact that God sent such a great warrior to Saul was a sign, wow, I'm with you, Saul. I'm with you. You know? But, and so Saul's heart was still full of inadequacies, but he'd not faced the truth. Those inadequacies are hidden. David's only doing the right thing. The people start to celebrate David. And if we just go back to that last verse, verse 8. Verse 8 first. You see, then it says Saul was very angry. It displeased him. Can I tell you the truth? This is the first area where I want you to see a lack of truth here. Sometimes we're angry because it's the only emotion that we're comfortable to express. Someone's just rejected us. You know, someone has just spoken down to us. I remember, you know, I haven't experienced racism very often, but I have once, and it was in Spain. And we were sitting in a restaurant, and everyone else was a Spanish-speaking family, and we literally got ignored, literally. You know, but some of you here will have experienced racism. And experienced people treating you badly, putting you down, just dissing you because of your accent, because of the way you pronounce something, because of the way you look or where you're from. And you see, very often these sorts of things, we feel angry. But can I tell you the real truth? We're not actually angry 9 times out of 10. We're hurt. Because what's really going on the inside is, why are you being so cruel to me? Can you not see that we just have a different color skin? Why does my skin make you treat me like that? Why does my accent make you treat me like that? And what we're really feeling on the inside isn't anger, not thirst. It's rejection, it's hurt. Are you hearing me? And I believe that what David was really feeling was inadequate. Saul, thank you. I believe that what Saul was really feeling in that moment was, oh my goodness, I felt inadequate when I got chosen by Samuel and I still feel inadequate today. David's great gift is completely and utterly exposing my mediocre gift. Are you hearing me? You know, you have a co-worker, a colleague at work, and you're feeling fine, and then someone comes along who's absolutely phenomenal at the job, and suddenly you start disliking them. No, it's not. It's, oh my goodness, your talent, your skill is just making me feel small. But I want you to hear the power of truth. Because you see, when we admit the truth, we can get the root sorted. Are you hearing me? You see, I know that if Saul had gone into the presence of God, and he'd said, Lord, compared to my brother, compared to my spiritual son, my son-in-law, I feel small. God would have spoken to him. He'd have ministered to Saul. He would have spoken into the depths of his heart and said, but Saul, didn't you know? I've always loved you. I chose you when you were a little boy. When I see you, I see someone who's able. And the issues would have been dealt with. Say truth. You see, Saul didn't face the truth. And so often we don't. Stuff happens at work, stuff happens at home. And instead of saying how we really feel, we say something that is more palatable to accept. You know, I remember one time a friend of ours, some friends had said, we're coming to your church on Sunday, and I was really excited to see them. And then their journey just ended up being horribly delayed, and they were coming from another city, and they didn't arrive into London until something like 2 o'clock in the morning, and they didn't make it to church the following day. Well, I was really looking forward to seeing them. It's a really small thing, but I want you to see the power of truth. I was really looking forward to seeing them, and so when they said they weren't coming, I was just thinking. I remember just hearing and just going, oh, honestly, you know, they're just not very committed. Like, listen, they had 4 kids, all under about the age of 8, and they'd arrived at 2 o'clock in the morning, okay? I want you to kind of see the picture and who's kind of behaving weirdly, okay? So I'm thinking, you know, gosh, honestly, she gave me a word. Like, you know, she said she was coming, and I was just upset. And I thought, that's upset. And I just heard the Holy Spirit say to me, you're not upset, you're offended. And I remember going, ouch. Turn to your neighbor and say, ouch. You see, the truth hurts sometimes. Because we know that offense is always a problem. And I remember going, God, I am so sorry for being offended. You know, if Saul had just said to God, this is really hard, and I feel so small, I don't feel good enough, God would have healed his heart, reassured him, and then raised him up to the position that he needed to be on the inside. He was already there on the outside. You know, I remember in working at the Prince's Trust, I remember I had a young woman working for me. And in my role at the Prince's Trust, there were lots of different aspects of it. And what I knew I was good at by this point, once, you know, what do you have beginning with F surrounding you, you know, and me saying favor for about 6 weeks in a row, and God really ministering to my heart and giving me the self-confidence, then I realized I can do this job. And, you know, what I was good at was strategy and planning and leadership. What I was not good at was networking. Now, not least because I never knew who any of these celebrities were. I mean, I remember one time literally being at St. James's Palace, coordinating an event, and having to text my husband or call my husband, can't remember which, don't know if text existed back then, and just describing somebody and saying, who are they? And he would sort of like get back to me as fast as, and there'd be times in meetings where I'd say, I'm so sorry, could you give me just 1 minute? Run out. Paolo. And I'd mention a name. Who are they? He'd say, oh my goodness, Joe, that's a really famous actor. I'd go, great, thanks. Name a movie. Thanks, my love. And I'd be back in the room, you know? So part of it was that. But the other half of why I was bad at networking was because I still had my own issues of rejection and insecurities. You know, what is networking? Networking is the ability to walk in a room full of random strangers and make them feel at ease. It's the ability to walk up to anyone and just be kind to them. Strike up a conversation. And this period was before I'd gone through my healing journey. So that was real. You know, they were the two reasons why I was bad at networking. I still suffer from the former. I still don't know who anyone was. In fact, we saw a famous Radio 1 person in a restaurant once who came over, and I'm like, Paolo, who is it that's talking to me? And she remembered me, which was the embarrassing bit, because she'd done an event for the Prince's Trust, and I'm like, who is this? You know. So I still struggle with names and faces and everything else. and it's like hard. Jesus, help me. But I can now walk into a room full of people and talk to anyone. Truth. You see, it's not that you and I are bad at networking. It's that we haven't found that place on the inside where we feel comfortable with who we are. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
And if we admit the truth, say truth.
Then
God's ready to start to deal with the roots that made us that way. Maybe it was the way our dad spoke to us, our mum spoke to us. Maybe it was something that happened at school. But you know what? God always wants to deal with the roots. Are you hearing me? Back to the story. So I had a young woman that came into the department. And she was absolutely fan-davy-dozy-dabulous at networking. And she was great. I'd hired her. I promoted her. And we would quite often be doing film premieres. And so, you know, that was the kind of thing that she'd be good at. And then I suddenly realized, penny dropped. Oh, she's better than me. Turn to your neighbor and say, ouch. She's better than me. And I remember, thank God that I faced the truth. Are you hearing me? Most times when someone is better than you, you don't face the truth. You listen to a different argument about why you no longer like them. Are you hearing me? But thankfully, because of God's mercy and goodness, I remember realizing I had a choice right in front of me. I either squash her. I was in management. I had a lot of favor around me. I was a nice Christian, but I had a lot of favor. And you know what? Being a Christian doesn't make us people who do the right thing all the time.
Right.
Because the issues of our hearts determine the course of our life, according to Proverbs chapter 4. And if we don't deal with the issues of our hearts, do you know what? We won't be nice leaders. We won't do the right thing. You know, we all make mistakes, but it's the issues of our hearts that determine how we go about things. So I had a choice. I could squash her. I could undermine her. I could put her down. I could make her feel small. You and I all know how to do that. But then I remember in prayer about this. I wasn't healed yet. I still felt inadequate. But I remember saying to God, Father, I ask you to help me. Because he showed me another way. And I met with that woman. I sat her down. Still remember her so well. And I said, Ellie, I want to share something with you. And I said, Ellie, I am terrible at networking. I get intimidated. I feel I don't know what to say to anyone. And I don't know who half the celebrities are. And well, with our big business donors, I don't even remember who the chief executive of Rolls-Royce was that I met last week. I can't remember his face this week. He's like, still worries me too. I said, but you're very good at it. I said, so I want you to go and shine. And I want you to go out there and represent this team. And I want you to do me a favor when there's someone you know that I really do need to get to know, for the sake of the Prince's Trust, for the sake of our mission, so that we can get our messages across to more people, then you tell me who and you keep reminding me who they are as we're walking towards them. And you tell me something about them so I've got something to talk to them about. Are you hearing me? Saul, if we get verse 8 back up there, please. You see, what Saul did is he didn't face the truth. He pretended. Well, I say he pretended. It never feels like pretending. He believed a lie. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things.
Yeah.
In Jeremiah. In other words, our hearts lie to us. They tell us a lie because the truth is too difficult to face. And it says, so Saul eyed David from that day forwards. In the original Hebrew, let me tell you what it says. So Saul eyed David with suspicion. I want you to hear something. You see, when our hearts are lying to us, instead of us acknowledging, do you know what? That brother over there intimidates me, and I feel so small around that brother because he's really competent, and I'm still a bit. You see, What our hearts will do is, rather than acknowledging that truth, because that makes us feel even more small, we'll believe a lie, which is, you know, that brother over there, he's a bit insensitive. He thinks so much of himself. He's all, you know, what am I saying? You see, when we have an issue that we don't deal with, we believe a lie that deflects from our issue and points the finger at someone else. You see, Saul pointed the finger at somebody who absolutely loved him. Saul was suspicious. You know, we'll always find some truth in our lies. You know what, if I'm saying this, you know, this woman at work, if I'd decided to squash her, I'd have found a good reason for it. Are you hearing me? I'd have found a factual reason for it as well as my fictional reason for it. Are you hearing me? But you see, if he treated David with suspicion, the very man who had his best interests at heart. David twice had the opportunity. Well, let me put it differently. Saul sought to kill David for 10 years. Daily, he sent men out to try and kill Saul for 10 years. Honestly, if someone could just put a picture up there that says, David is, and that's all, and then maybe it'll help me. So Saul, for 10 years, sent people out to try and kill David, because he was suspecting him. Twice in those 10 years, David had the opportunity to kill Saul. And he didn't. And each time he said, I'm not going to kill you because your life is of value in my eyes, because I respect you. You're like a father to me. But he never dealt. Saul never dealt with the issue of his heart. So although he'd believe him for a while, you see, we can believe the truth for a while when we haven't dealt with the issues of our hearts. But we end up going very quickly back there. You see, I believe that God is calling us in this season to walk in greater truth. You know, when we're a strong, tough person, it feels hard to admit the truth that we've never dealt with some wounds from childhood. Aaron, if I could borrow you, or Joe, whoever's nearer. You know, it feels hard to admit the truth sometimes. But you see, the truth is the beginning of transformation. Every time in my life when I faced the truth, whether it was, Joe, position means far too much to you. Ouch! But that became the trigger of my journey of healing when God did start to deal with the issues of my heart 10, 12 years ago. Every time my husband faced me with the truth, it became the trigger to me changing into someone who could carry just a little bit more of the love of God. You see, truth is tough, truth is hard. But what does the Bible say? It says that it's in the truth. You'll know the truth, and it's the truth that sets us free. I just want to ask you to stand to your feet in the presence of the Lord. You know, we can be a superficial Christian and never really fulfill our purpose or our potential. Or we can get into God's plans and purposes, lock, stock, and barrel, and give our everything. And when we give our everything, He really will go to the root. You know, some of you right now, just with your eyes shut, I just sense by the Spirit of God, there's some of you here, and you know that for years you've been keeping the truth at bay because the truth is too hard to face. And just, I want to give you a moment just in the presence of God. We're not in a place right now where we can deal with it all. But what we are is we're at the beginning, we're in a place where we can say, God, I want your truth. So just in the presence of the Lord right now with your eyes shut, if you realize there's been some truth that you have been avoiding, either because it's too hurtful or it's too yucky, or it's just doesn't taste nice. Just take a moment now in the presence of God to talk to the Lord and to tell Him, God, I want more truth in my life in 2017. Just tell Him that. I want truth in my life this year. You know, I love that universal sign of surrender. I just, if that's you, you're saying this year, 2017, I want the truth. Just lift up both hands in the presence of the Lord and just give God that permission. Just say, Father, shine your light into my heart and lead me to the truth. May I know the truth about the issues in my heart that have been holding me back, that I may become that man, that woman that you have called me to be. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray for every single person who's raised their hands or prayed that prayer in their heart. And I pray the same journey that you've taken me on, the same journey you've taken my husband on. Father, I pray that you would take each one on that journey to that place of such freedom and fulfillment, that we will never follow the lie or believe the lie, but will follow you. Thank you, Jesus.